One of the great historical parts of baseball is the Negro Leagues. And I think as we move further and further away from the time when the Negro Leagues were part of the baseball scene, people either don't know about it or don't remember it. And I've always tried to keep it in the forefront of sports fans' mind. And we're going to do that with Hank Mason joining us. He was a pitcher. He began his career with the Kansas City Monarchs of the Negro Leagues. And back in 1955, Hank broke the barrier by becoming the first African-American to play for the Schenectady Blue Jays, which was a Philadelphia Phillies farm team. I know that when you played with the Kansas City Monarchs, there was a manager there by the name of Buck O'Neill, who I got to know. Tell me about the first time you met Buck, Hank.
Well, the first time I met Buck, I went to Kansas City to try out for the Kansas City Monarchs. And I didn't think that I was the caliber of baseball player that could play with the Kansas City Monarchs. And after I got there, you know, when I went there, I was a third baseman and a pretty good one at that. And he told me, he said, he hit me some balls down to third base. And he said, now listen, Hank, I've got a good third baseman. Is it anything else you can do? And I said, yeah, I can pitch some. He said, okay, then I want you to go down in the bullpen and get loosened up real good, and I'll be down there in a little bit. I said, okay. So I went down, and I got my arm loosened up real good, and he came down, and I threw him a couple of fastballs, about 95 miles an hour. And he said, you got anything else? I said, yeah, I got a curveball, slider, change up, and I threw him a slider and a curveball, and he said, hey, do you think you can be up here tomorrow at 10 o'clock because we're going south? I said, I think so. He said, well, I want to take you with me. So that's the first time I met Buck O'Neill.
One of the things that surprises me, Hank, about what you just said, had you been a pitcher before? Because you said that you were a third baseman, but yet you had an array of pitches. Where did you develop those pitches if indeed you were not a pitcher?
You know, I really don't know. I guess it was just a gift from God. I played third base for the Marshall Blue Sox most of my life. And then when they didn't have a pitcher, they would say, hey, can you pitch today? I said, yeah. So I pitched today, you know, and another guy named George Walker, he would teach me, you know, some things about pitching. But I think it was just a gift from God.
One of the things that I've always heard from the players that played in the Negro Leagues, and I think it was fairly evident if you take a look at their statistics over their careers, Hank, is that many of the players had multi-talent. They could do a lot of different things. Why did that develop among the Negro League players?
Well, I think that the talent was, you know, was. I think the talent that that we had, we could do almost anything on the baseball field. You know, there were some guys that could catch, could play first base, could play second base, but I think I could pitch and play third base and outfield and everything like that. I don't know why, but I think that maybe it was because the talent wasn't as great as it was in any other base, you know, like in the major league. But we had to play everything if we wanted to stay on the team.
On opening day in 1952, you pitched 16 innings to defeat the Philadelphia Stars 3-2. Now, I use that as a preface to the question.
Wow.
Do you kind of smile a little bit when you look at the box scores in the major leagues today and see a pitcher went six innings before giving way to a middle reliever?
That's right. We had Buck O'Neill would say, go as long as you can, as hard as you can. And I pitched 16 innings that day. And I think that is one of my most memorable games that I've ever pitched. I pitched a no-hitter at in Cincinnati in 1954 against the Indianapolis Clowns. But I think this is one of the most memorable games that I have ever pitched since I have been in baseball. And then there was another game that I pitched in Havana, Cuba, when I was in the International League. And I beat Havana one night, 1-0 on 3 hits. So those are the two most memorable games that I've ever pitched.
Why do you think you and the other pitchers had such durability? What was it about the way you pitched, the way the game was played at that time, just the physique of players in the Negro Leagues that allowed them to pitch? I mean, and it wasn't just in the Negro Leagues. I know that we hear a lot about, even in the early days of the major leagues, about pitchers throwing that many innings or a lot of innings.
Well, I tell you what. I think that pitchers and other players got themselves in good condition to go as far as they could. And I don't know, you know, I think it was just the strength of God that he gave you just to go as far as you could go. And, you know, I think that the 16-inning game that I pitched in 1952, I could have went 20 innings because it was just so thrilling for me to do that.
One thing that I, and if I'm wrong about this statement, Hank, please correct me on it, but the one thing that I do remember in taking a look at the statistics of the pitchers is that they were not only great pitchers, but they were also pretty good hitters. Did most of the pitchers in the Negro League also do pretty well at the plate?
You better believe it. Yeah, because if you were going to stay in a game, you had to hit, you had to bunt, you had to do everything right. And every pitcher in the Negro League wanted to stay in the game just as long as they could. And I wanted to stay in the game. I could lay down a bunt. I could hit the right field behind the runner. I could hit not as good as some of the other hitters that was at the plate every day, but I could hit the ball.
Who were some of the other great pitching hitters?
Well, I tell you, one of my my roommate, Dick Phillips, he could hit the ball any place. He could get a runner down, or he could hit, you know, behind the runner. Booker McDaniel, he was a good hitter. George Walker, my other roommate, he could hit the ball good. You know, you had to hit the ball or bunt the ball right in order to stay in the game. And every it wasn't something like staying in the game 4 or 5 innings. You wanted to stay. You had to stay in the game 9 innings to try to get major league scouts to look at you.
Certainly, people talk about Satchel Paige. I mean, that is a name that is synonymous with the Negro Leagues. Tell me a little bit about him, and really from your perspective as a Negro League player, a professional playing against another professional player in the Negro Leagues, tell me what his strengths were, how good he was.
Let me tell you, I never played with Satchel in the Negro League, but after I advanced to Triple-A baseball with the Miami Marlins, that's where I played with Satchel. Satchel, his strength was control. He could throw the ball any place that he wanted to throw it and as hard as he wanted to throw it. If he wanted to throw it on the outside corner, he could do it. I tell you what, when we would go to the bullpen, Satchel and I were relief pitchers. I was a long man, and he was a short man. And Satchel could take a chewing gum wrapper and throw it just right on the corners, down the middle, any place that he wanted to throw it. And I think that was Satchel's success.
He also had a great personality, did he not? I've heard that he was very funny.
Very, very funny. Yeah, he was. You know, I don't know how much money Satchel was making, But some mornings, like we were in Toronto or Montreal or someplace like that, he always called me Country Boy. I came from Marshall, Missouri, and he was from Kansas City. And he would call me up and say, "Hey, Country Boy, you want something to eat for breakfast?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, come on over." And I would go over, and he'd have a corned beef hash, poached eggs, and hash browns, toast, and all of that kind of stuff. And I couldn't afford that kind of stuff, not on my salary, but he could do it. And maybe six or seven times while we were on a road trip, that's what he would do. He would invite me over to his room in the morning time to eat breakfast with him.
Very special conversation we're having with Hank Mason. He was a pitcher. He began his career with the Kansas City Monarchs of the Negro Leagues, and we continue across the country and around the world on Sports Byline.